coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls all across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we're hoping, against hope, we're going to have with us very shortly Joel Skousen, and we're going to be talking about, well, whatever the issues are that has been brought up in the World Affairs Brief, because Joel is the editor of World Affairs Brief. Hi, Joel. How are you doing?
Good, Stan. I'm sorry to be late again, but I have another interview prior to this one, and so it kind of runs together.
I know. Don't you worry about it. I can always find something to say for about 2 minutes if you come on. So anyway, why don't you tell us what we're going to talk about this afternoon? Do you want to talk about the same things we did before, or do we have a new subject?
Is this a new audience?
New audience, and I think that they're just waiting on the edge of their seat. In fact, I talked to a gentleman today who told me how much he enjoyed your commentary. So I know we have a lot of supporters out there looking forward to what you're going to say. Yes, this is an entirely new audience. You can repeat what we covered before.
Well, it is a timely subject. I want to go into some detail about the economic outlook for 2004. That certainly is a relevant topic for all of us, whether or not this second bubble that the United States government has created by intervention in the economy is going to hold, or whether or not there's going to be a bust. A particular issue of stress in the economy is the overheated real estate market, even though it's not overheated in some places, just barely holding its own in parts of the Intermountain West here. In California, you're still having a huge boom in real estate being fueled by these terribly low interest rates. Now, they're not terribly low if you're going to borrow for a house. What's interesting about this is that why isn't everybody out there borrowing at, you know, the 4 and 5% that are available because of federal interest rates and remarketing rates being down to the 1% level? The reason is, and this is important for understanding the tension that exists in the marketplace, is that even with these low interest rates, you can't shove enough money out the door because most everybody's already saddled up to their eyebrows in debt, and they can't take up any more debt. This is what's called satiation of the debt market, where you don't have enough people willing to take on more debt at any price anymore, and that tells you that you're running out of tricks to be able to continue to jumpstart the economy. The other tricks that the U.S., is, of course, are using to distort the things is they're distorting the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, as well as the unemployment figures. It's very interesting that here we have a split economy. We have a certain portion of the economy is booming because it's the recipient of heavy deficit spending on the part of the government, especially the military-industrial complex. Even that's trickling down now to many of the common people. They've got a lot of money to spend now because people are buying their services. This kind of trickle-down economics does work in one hand, but it has a consequence and a price on the other, and that is that it is inflationary over time. We're starting to see inflation raise its ugly head again, and one of the reasons is because the international establishment is not absorbing our inflation like it used to. The United States has been the only country that has had the luxury of being able to export its inflation to the rest of the world because the dollar is used as an international currency. All other countries have an immediate result from printing too much. Prices go up inside the country. Well, it's about ready to start here now. And when that happens, interest rates are going to rise and the real estate market will go down.
All right, just hang on to that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Joel Skousen. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Joel Skousen, who's the editor of World Affairs Brief. And we're talking about what's going to happen to the economy. Right now, of course, we have a bubble. We have a housing bubble. We have a stock market bubble that has been created by the administration, in my estimation, to try to get the Bush administration reelected. And, of course, you can play these games by keeping the interest rates very low. You can certainly do massive government spending, pouring money out as if it's going out of style. But eventually, of course, you get to a real difficult problem because it is the other countries. For instance, other countries have to buy $1.5 to $1.7 billion of our debt every day to keep the American ship of or economic ship afloat. And, of course, what happens when foreign countries don't want to do that? Why do they invest here? They invest in dollar-denominated products, and then, of course, they have fallen 30 to 40% over the last several years. And, of course, if you invest in our products, why the interest rate is so low? And as Joel was saying, once those interest rates begin to go up, he feels that this whole bubble, the housing bubble, the stock market bubble, the bubble that is, of course, keeping the economy going is going to begin to crumble. Would that be a correct analysis, Joel?
That's a very cogent analysis. In fact, you stole all my thunder stuff,
Dan. Well, no, I wasn't trying to. I was just explaining to our new listeners that what the background. So you pick it up from there.
You're doing a great job, but let me just amplify a little bit about what you were saying. This is a very interesting point. With low interest rates the way they are, of course, this is good for American home buyers or business people who need to make a loan for business purposes. It's meant to stimulate the economy, but it comes at a price. Foreign investors aren't interested in buying U.S. Treasury debt because the interest is so low, and that's why we see these foreign central banks kind of as a mutual pact, and that pact is called the Trilateral Commission. Trilateral Commission was created by David Rockefeller as collusion between European powers, especially England, the Conservative Party, the Bank of England, the Federal Reserve, and the Japanese Central Bank. Their pact was to support one another, and that's exactly what Japan is doing, almost $50 billion a month pouring into federal debt. And Germany and France and some of the other countries in the European Union are doing it as well because they're interested in supporting the U.S. economy. If it tanks, then their export markets will collapse as well, and their economies will hurt even worse than they are now. So the problem is the U.S. is running out of tricks. Here you keep interest rates low in order to keep the second bubble alive and to keep a collapse from occurring, and at the same time you're weakening the dollar. And there's only so much time that the central banks can continue to bail out the United States.
Hold that thought.
Okay,
Dr. Joel Skousen is back with us, and he's saying that we're running out of time. There's only a certain amount, much more the central bank can do, and one of these days the central banks of Europe and Japan are going to just quit buying our dollars, and at that time, well, you hang on to your hat. Go ahead, Joel.
Well, what happens, the housing market accounts for about 30% of the U.S. consumer economy, not only wages and new material that goes into the building boom, but also the consumer products and items that people buy to stuff those houses after they purchase them. So it is very important for the U.S. to keep this consumer economy alive if they're going to win the election for George Bush, and this is a key indicator that the establishment is behind George Bush. He's their man. He's not conservative Christian. He's not on our side, despite the rhetoric that he says. He's the establishment man. He's on a globalist agenda. But in any case, what I believe is going to happen is they'll be able to keep this bubble sustained. You know, it's not going to rise much more. I think they're having trouble keeping the stock market up. You know, it's had 3 or 4 days of major declines. It's still overinflated at 10,400. They're going to have real trouble keeping it up and keeping investor confidence up at that level. In the meantime, the dollar is being threatened hard, and I think what we're going to have inevitably, because people, we're not exporting our debt as we used to be able to, the international community isn't interested in taking on more dollars, we're going to see inflation rates rise in order to attract buyers to our deficit spending, to federal bonds, as well as to reflect the actual increase in prices here at home. Now, one of the ways in which they're working to mask the effects of the inevitable rise of inflation is the manipulation of the CPI. I covered in last week's brief the fact that energy costs are up almost 84%, gasoline prices are up 250%, and yet they have ways of indexing these things downward so they don't show up on the CPI, but tiny percentages.
Now, could I just mention, the CPI is the Consumer Price Index, which is the way that they sort of gauge inflation. They keep it down, and they say there's no inflation, but of course they're really lying, aren't they?
That's right. True inflation really is running about 8 or 9%, and that's without even discounting the fact that we have a fair amount of deflation going on because of coming in to the country. And those cheap goods, in fact, make it cheaper for us to buy products. They mask the fact that inflation is higher and getting higher because there are many things, goods and services, that are rising, even though basic commodities are not rising.
And, of course, all you have to do is look at what's happening to the gas prices. So what do they do? Why do they say, well, we're not going to put the gas in there? You know, that's an aberration.
It's seasonally adjusted.
Right.
You know, this is just an aberration. You're exactly right. So we'll take it out, or we'll remove that temporarily, or we'll downgrade it. They have this indexing system which allows them to methodically, you know, if something goes up permanently at high, they actually remove it from the basket of goods and replace it with something cheaper.
Well, the old saying that figures don't lie, but liars do figure, I think, is exactly how we begin to explain how they come up with these figures, always to give the impression of what the government wants. The reality is we have inflation no matter what they say.
And there is the fact of the unemployment figures are also being manipulated. The government's saying that unemployment rate's around 5.6%, but in reality it's at least 8%. And underemployment could be another 5 to 6% on top of that. So we really don't have, this is the one sector which belies the fact they say we have a recovery. We have an inflationary recovery, a certain sector of the economy that's getting the billions of dollars the U.S. is just shoveling out the door to the military-industrial complex and other welfare and foundations and recipients of the largesse of the Bush administration. But it's a very selective recovery because I would say about two-thirds of the economy has not participated in that recovery so far. And of course, employment is not increasing except in temporary jobs, low wages, but meaningful, strong, paying, solid, stable employment is not increasing in the United States.
Well, you know, Joel, I think one of the most frightening figures is when we look at the new jobs created in December. They were expecting there'd be 150,000 or 1,000. January, maybe 22,000. February, 21,000. We're not producing any new jobs. In fact, we're losing jobs, and we're not producing anywhere near enough jobs, for the people graduating from school going into the labor force. That would take 150,000 jobs a month. We're in real trouble, but nobody wants to address the fact that our industries are being subsidized to move overseas. They don't want the American people to know that government officials know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the public to realize that.
And I think it's also important to realize that at least half the impetus for moving overseas, though, is to get out of the heavy-handed U.S. regulatory environment. It is very difficult and costly to create a new factory here in the United States, whereas China, you know, you can pay off the bureaucrats, you have no environmental regulations hardly at all, you don't have any employment regulations, you don't have any anti-discrimination laws, you don't have to have a certain amount of Hispanics or women in your labor force. You'd be surprised how many administrators it takes to keep pace with these laws. So the amount of administration within a corporation is drastically reduced on their Chinese sectors versus the U.S. The biggest thing that the United States, if Bush was really serious about recreating a true rebound in the economy, tax cuts are important, the most important thing is to get employment back on track, and the key ingredient there is to simply, and this would be a wonderful test, say we're going to have a moratorium for 2 years. Nobody has to pay any FICA on employees, no workman's compensation. There's no anti-discrimination laws. You can hire or fire at will as long as you abide by existing contracts. And labor unions don't have the right, or companies can hire at will any replacement workers for, you just take the ropes off employment. I mean, I could hire numerous people in my business. I don't because of the hassle and the expense of hiring employees and the liability involved. There are lots of other people who have gotten out of the business of hiring people who would willingly hire people to take the load off themselves if they could. And we must not underestimate that that's the reason why this is very difficult to recover from one of these inflationary recessions.
Well, I think it's going to be a long time before we see a recovery, I really fear for this country as far as our economic situation is concerned, as long as the government continues, number one, subsidizing companies that move overseas by special tax breaks for them, by actually lending them money as they have with the Overseas Investment Corporation, by Export-Import Bank guaranteeing factories that move overseas, that if their factories are nationalized, we'll not only give them the money they lose, but two or three times that. At least one of the Utah congressmen told me that shortly before he was voted out of office. You're not supposed to reveal this sort of thing to the American people. They were actually encouraging the export of our factories and with that the export of our jobs.
Well, you know, I think going back to my overall assessment, I think this year you're safe in terms of being able to rely on steady business maintaining relative stability here. But if a person is going to sell real estate, probably this is the year to sell it. Once it starts a downward spiral and the interest rates go up, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the two so-called private, but they're actually government creators of mortgage lending guarantees and loans for the housing industry, those two will probably go belly up if interest rates rise any more than 3 or 4%.
And I think you're right.
That's trillions of dollars in losses in the economy.
And Sidney Alan Greenspan has suggested this, that we have to do something to protect this. And, of course, most people think that if they go down, why, the government's going to bail them out. I think, of course, that the government's not going to bail them out. I think there's going to be a real
problem. The FDIC has less than 2.5% coverage over the amount of liabilities that are out there outstanding. So there's no way that they're going to be able to cover. And, of course, if you print the money to cover it, it's going to be extremely inflationary because that money is not going to go circulating around the world. It's going to stay right here at home. Now, it's interesting that I think that next year, not only will people be able to pick up bargains in real estate, they'll also, gold will make a major move in 2005. The dollar is going to make an even bigger decline than the 20% or so that it's lost in value this year. It's going to hurt, of course, vacations overseas. It's going to be very difficult for Americans to afford, the exchange rates overseas. And this is with other countries inflating like bandits as well. When the dollar is going down 20% over European Union, which is inflating almost as much as the United States, you know that the United States is in trouble economically. But it never ceases to amaze me, Dr. Stana. They keep pulling rabbits out of their hat and finding one more trick to keep consumer confidence higher and keep this economy afloat. I think they're doing it for political reasons this year. But I think the gold will be making a major move after many years of downward pressure. The reason that gold has been able to be manipulated is that many of the gold transactions are done privately without disturbing the markets. In other words, central banks, who are the largest holders of gold, make splashy announcements about gold sales. This depresses the price of gold. Then they use hidden buyback arrangements with major gold brokers and producers to restock their bullion supplies, thus denying the market this portion of the equation, that is the buy portion. So when you have more sells than buy, the price tends to go down.
Well, of course, but it's all perception. They're manipulating the reality of the American people because, of course, if you have no gold or silver to use as money, then what alternative do you have other than their funny money, their fiat money system, which they are able to create out of nothing and, of course, buy up our industries and buy up our newspapers and buy up our networks. And with that, they're able to control what the American people think and believe. We'll be back here in just a moment with Joel Skousen right here at Radio Liberty.
American establishment, I give you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I just want to mention that we do
carry... This is health journalist Bill Sardi.
I just want to mention that we carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and if you're interested in knowing more about them, I suggest that you go to our website. There's a soap, there's a lotion, there's a moisturizing soap, there's a neutralizer. And I will tell you that the people who use these products really swear by them. We have people who've been using them for years. I know we wouldn't be without them here. My wife uses the gel for every sort of irritation or rash or burn or whatever it would be. So all we can do is suggest that you try the Miracle 2 products and see if you like them. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. There's a special introductory offer. I really think you'll be glad that you did call. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest today is Joel Skousen. We have Bart from Carmel on the line, and I'll ask him just to be patient for one moment while I have Joel tell us how they people can get the World Affairs Brief.
The World Affairs Brief can be secured by going to my website, joelskousen.com. That's joelskousen. joelskousen.com, and if you click on the World Affairs Brief symbol on the left-hand panel, it'll bring up sample briefs, all the archives from 2003 on back. There's a modest subscription fee for the World Affairs Brief. It comes out weekly. It's my analysis of what's going on behind the scenes in the news. And if you don't have access to the web, you can call my office at area code 801-224-4746 and request a sample of the printed edition. of the World Affairs Brief.
And I read it, too, from beginning to end every week when it comes. I get it by email, of course. Well, let's go to Bart, who is calling. He has a question. Bart, did you have a question?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. It's a privilege to be able to speak to both you gentlemen. May I ask a question related to the new police state population control grid, or is that too far off the subject?
That's pretty far off the subject.
Okay.
I think that we've really talked about the economy today, Bart. We can do that some other time, okay?
Sure.
Okay, thanks so much. So let's, if you have a question that is applicable to what we're talking about, we'd love to have you call, but right now I want, of course, Joel to explore this idea of the economy, because, ladies and gentlemen, everything you have, or what most people have, in the way of physical possessions are tied up in savings or pension funds or annuities or bonds or CDs or something that is tied to the dollar. And you destroy the dollar, you impoverish the American people, as they did in Argentina here 2 or 3 years ago, where the middle class was simply wiped out. They lost 3/4 of all they possessed. They owe $80 to $100 billion to other countries, and they're just going to renege on it. Sorry, fellas. And as the president's wife said recently, we've suffered terribly. We have grinding poverty. We have one of the highest infant mortality rates anywhere in the world. We've suffered because of what's happened financially. You have to understand our position. We don't have the money. Could something like that happen in America, Joel?
Well, we're certainly, we're living under illusions of prosperity. We're quite a long ways from that at this moment, but it could come very suddenly and precipitously. And Americans have become a soft people. They have no savings. They're high in debt. They just aren't going to be able to roll with the punches financially when this market turns into a serious bear market. It's very interesting to see Alan Greenspan maneuvering and making noises about reducing the federal debt. He's saying now over and over that Social Security and Medicare must be cut. Which politician wants to commit Harry Caray by cutting Social Security? It's been proven time and again that the American people, even conservatives, are benefit corrupted about public education and Social Security. Now, I have no objections to getting back in Social Security with what you put into it. But most people over the years have gotten back far in excess of what they put into it, and that's why it's a Ponzi scheme. You have to continue to shovel in new workers at the front end at higher increasing wage deductions in order to fund the existing people. When the baby boomers, such as myself, hit Social Security in another 5 to 10 years, it's going to be a real problem. There will be cuts, or there will be tax increases. Either way, you just can't continue to rob the Social Security Trust Fund and expect it to be solvent. But I think it's interesting that Greenspan is who's going to pass the throne to Governor Bernanke, says that inflation is virtually non-existent. Bob Chapman pegs it between 7.5% and 8%. I think it's closer to 9% or 10%. But in any case, the creation of $7 trillion over 4 years has really buoyed the economy in an illusory way. But much of its, power has been swallowed up in regulations and controls and inflation.
Would you mind repeating that? We have created $7 trillion in new money over this last 4 years.
That's right. And that includes credit creation as well. That's not all just printed money. That's credit that has been creation as well. And a lot of that credit creation is going into the derivatives market. Major banks like Citibank and Chase Morgan are deep into derivatives and are at risk. If this thing really collapses, it could be precipitous.
And I think that was Warren Buffett who referred to derivatives as financial weapons of mass destruction, currently latent but potentially lethal. And I think we should remember Warren Buffett is a lot smarter than most of us, having parlayed a few $100,000 into a multi-trillion dollar Berkshire Hathaway. We'll be back here in just a few moments with Joel Skousen. We'll welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty. Mm-hmm.
We have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, what really happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, what really happened.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention that we have many, many four tape sets that we hope many of you will want to get. We have one that is a critique of a talk that was given by Dr. Richard Day, who was the director of Planned Parenthood in 1969, when he addressed a group of physicians at a meeting in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And sitting in the audience was a young doctor just out of his training as a pediatrician, and actually Dr. Day had been one of his teachers, Dr. Dunnigan. And Dr. Dunnigan listened aghast to what he was being told, and eventually went home and made notes on what he had actually heard, and then, of course, said nothing for almost 20 years. And then finally, he did give a series of interviews to Randy Engel, who was with the pro-life group, and we actually have those three tapes of hers, and one interview I did with Dr. Dunnigan, because I wanted to know if this was really true. It's a four-tape set called The New Order of the Barbarians, and of course, Dr. Dunnigan records what Dr. Day said, and you actually get the transcript with the four-tape set. That's why it's a little bit more expensive than the others. Dr. Day is talking about how we're going to have to create new diseases to kill large numbers of people. There are too many people in the world today. How we're going to have to suppress the treatments for cancer because, of course, people are going to have to die something, so they might as well die of cancer. You must understand that Dr. Day was part of this. He called it the Order, and you'd really want to hear this four-tape set entitled The New Order of the Barbarians. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WARM. You want to get our four-tape set on concentration camps. You want to get our three-video set, The Amazing Clips. And you will see things there that you will never see anyplace else. Give us a call right now. Well, our guest is Joel Skousen today from World Affairs Brief. We've been talking about what's happening to the economy. And, of course, if you're not making preparations now, if you're going out and spending as if there is no tomorrow, well, tomorrow is about to arrive. Do you want to develop any more of this thought, Joel, or should we go on to the next subject, or maybe take our call as we're getting calls from all across the country right now?
Yes, we can take some calls.
All right, let's go to George, who's calling from Toronto. Hi, George.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. Mr. Skousen, I wonder if you could just give me the pros and cons of whether one should buy gold and silver stocks, bullion, or coins, and I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
All right. There's the $64,000 question. Should you buy gold and silver stocks, coins, or, of course, bullion?
Well, if you want the highest potential, I think, of appreciation when gold makes a run-up, you should be in gold stocks. The trade-off with, you know, for all absolute safety in a real depression, you want to hold gold bullion coins, not necessarily numismatics, because the premium will not, you know, be as much as as it is worth during peace times. The problem with holding gold bullion coins, though, is that when you want to turn them back in for cash, you normally, in a bad economy, have trouble finding someone who will give you the value for the coins. Brokers want their 20% discount so that they can resell the coins, and if brokers even had the money. Trying to barter gold coins is very difficult because the value, the unit value, is so high that it's very difficult to get change for a $500 or $1,000 gold coin. So in terms of holding gold coins, I prefer that they be weighted towards silver dollars, The big heavy coin that is recognizable in the United States and even in Canada, of course, is a worthy silver dollar. You can barter more with a silver dollar unit of value than you can from gold, and the unit is small enough that you don't have to worry about losing some value if they don't have change to give you. So that's my feeling on gold coins and investment value of stocks.
Don't you think, though, that all are good, basically good investments? I mean, I might have answered all of the above. Certainly, maybe more, but certainly gold and silver stocks are an excellent investment. Gold and silver bullion are an excellent investment. Gold coins, would you think they should diversify?
Well, yes, depending on how much you have. But don't forget as well just to hold cash. As long as inflation stays below the 10% level, you should hold at least as much cash as, I won't say as much as your gold and silver holdings, but I will say you should have at least the equivalent of $5,000 or $10,000 in cash, depending on what your monthly outflow is. You should at least have 1 or 2 months to coverage in just inflationary fiat money cash.
All right, fine.
That's going to be king in a real serious depression.
All right, let's go to Dave is calling from Illinois. Hi, Dave. Question or comment?
Good evening, gentlemen. A question for Mr. Skousen. Mr. Skousen, I believe we're headed towards a tremendous depression sometime next year, perhaps. And my question to you is, without manufacturing, how will we ever dig back out of it?
All right, that's an excellent question. Without a manufacturing base, which the Bush administration, but the Democrats as well, both political parties are in on this, are intent upon destroying and shipping out our industrial base, how will we ever get out of an inflation without an industrial base?
Well, he's absolutely right. You have to rebuild an industrial base, and that's why they almost always dovetail a depression with war that follows, because war requires that you rebuild your industrial base. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen toward the end of the decade, after 2008. I think that's when World War III is going to hit us. I think this continual antagonism of the world through intervention is going to result in a major backlash, spearheaded by Russia and China, who are secretly rearming, or not so secretly, actually, in the case of China. But I think that's what's going to happen. That will force the rebuilding of a base. But frankly, it won't ever be like World War II. You know, the difference between the Third World War is that we are going to be the target, not Europe. We're going to receive the devastation, and so we'll never pay back the debt. The debt will be defaulted on because the country essentially will be bankrupt. There will not be a rapid resurgence in industrial base because you're going to have a lot of sickness and long-term effects from radiation and fallout. Because as we speak, for example, at the National Naval Observatory, the home of Vice President Cheney is undergoing underground explosions 2 or 3 times a day. They're building a huge bunker system, plus tunnels. The neighbors are up in arms because of all these explosions going on. These government officials know that a nuclear war is coming. They're not building these bunkers because of some little rogue terrorist attack. And yet there's no warning to the American people to prepare for nuclear war.
And I think that going along with that, we should remember that Dick Cheney either knew or suspected there was going to be an anthrax attack. Now, we know that he either knew or suspected because he and his entire staff went on Cipro on the evening of September 11th. You would never take this potentially dangerous antibiotic that has the ability to weaken your tendons so that your Achilles tendon will rupture. You would never, of course, do that unless you knew it was going to happen. It was just Dick Cheney didn't tell anybody else what was going to happen. Well, let's go to John, who's calling from Tennessee. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Not too good. My wife was robbed of her military pension because she's also disabled, and all military veterans who are disabled are also robbed of their retirement, which is contract fraud. And I'm disabled and was robbed of my Social Security disability benefits, which I've been fighting in court for 5 years, and it'll probably be another 5 years before I get to federal court. So this contract fraud is going to hit everybody. Social Security and government pensions are already being looted, as confessed in the Consolidated Annual Financial Reports. Can you talk about the CAFRs and how that reveals that they're looting $70 trillion a year from the pension fund through Wall Street?
All right, well, let's ask Joel, do you have any thing that you might comment on the CAFR reports? That for our listeners, could you explain what the CAFR report is?
Well, the CAFR report is you know, the charge that because of all of the slush funds that governments had, especially at the state level, that, you know, they could simply start using that money on behalf of the people and not charge taxes for I don't know how many years. This is not entirely correct. In fact, the majority of it is, frankly, rather fraudulent. I'm as suspicious of government as any of the conservative analysts, but I have looked at the CAFRA claims, and I have not been able to substantiate them. In fact, most of these monies that they're claiming are there are fiduciary funds, of which they're prohibited from, of using that for general tax in place of general tax revenues. These are huge funds, it's true, are in government coffers, but these are all set-asides for pension plans and for workman's compensation and other types of things that cannot be, in fact, tapped into. There isn't the big gold mine there, as I forgot who the promulgator of CAFRA is, but it is not the gold mine that he's saying, and I can tell you that I've investigated those and found them wanting.
And I have certainly got a CAFRA report as well, and I certainly couldn't find that the claims were accurate. Let's go to Roger, who's calling from Pennsylvania. Roger, question or comment?
Yes, two very quick ones, and I'll hang up. Thank you. I've heard, was probably on your show and probably from Bob Chapman, that solar was 7 years behind in production, and, of course, just a slight uptick. And then the second item... was it seemed more practical to me to get the one-tenth ounce denominated gold coins. Any downside to that? And God bless.
Okay, fine. Thanks so much. And, of course, Roger's saying you don't want that big gold coin. You want a little tiny one. Then it still might be worth an awful lot if gold goes to the roof, as some people are saying it could even go to $3,000 an ounce. Some people say $5,000. Maybe it's pie in the sky. We're just going to have to wait and see.
One of the problems, though, with the one-tenth is that, once again, you're looking at buyer resistance towards... It lessens resistance in one sense. And you're not holding a great big coin worth $500 or $1,000 or $2,000. You cut that into fourths or fifths, depending on the denomination of the smaller coin. But then again, it's still relatively tiny and lightweight to be... See, the problem is that people don't know the value of gold and silver. They haven't used it at all. My brother Mark, the investment advisor, typically gives a silver dollar as a tip to people, and he's finding more and more now that people don't recognize it, what it is. Don't even know what hasn't seen what a silver dollar is. And so that's rather disturbing. But yes, I think you certainly need to make sure that you have the smaller denomination gold coins because of this resistance.
All right, fine. Well, now, is there another subject you'd like to get to? Because we've taken all the calls from across America. We still have about 8 minutes to go.
Yes, I wanted to comment on something that's been hitting the airwaves in the Internet, and that's the interview with Alex Jones and Colonel de Grand Prix. This colonel is making some statements that have just not capable, I'm not capable of backing up with facts. I cannot confirm them. In fact, I can confirm that they aren't true. Now, in saying this, I'm not trying to cast dispersions on the colonel. I think he is completely sincere. He is legitimately warning about government and the New World Order and the conspiracy. But what he is saying is that the military, about 70%, are ready to rise up in arms and revolt that they're on the verge of a coup d'etat of overthrowing this globalist government of ours. And I find that absolutely without substance. He just really claims too much. And I think a lot of it is wishful thinking. When Alex Jones said, well, now, you wrote this report. He's written three books about, he claims that they had a 72-hour nonstop meeting after 3 days after September 11th with top military and civilian pilots. And they came up with a scenario about remote control of the aircraft and how he submitted this 48-page or so, some size of report to Richard Sheldon, Joint Chiefs of Staff, and that he in turn circulated 500 copies of that to the Pentagon. Now, I've done some checking around, and that simply isn't true. There haven't been any of those reports circulating around the Pentagon. And when Alex Jones asked him, well, you know, tell us about how those got circulated, and he said, well, I got a call from his horse handler, which means his aide, another colonel of the general, General Sheldon, and he said, the general is in receipt of your report. He thanks you very much, but we have no comment at this time. And then he said, but Semper Fi. And he took the Semper Fi to mean that we're secretly supportive, and I just think he's drawing wishful conclusions from it. There is nobody in the high ranks of the military that is going to be not found out if he harbors any anti-globalist, anti-establishment feelings. There isn't anybody who makes general, frankly, who isn't a yes man. They purge them out well before they get to the rank of colonel. I've been in the military. I've been an officer. I've seen this kind of purging go on, and the bootlicking and the yesmanship that just is not this resistance capable.
And, of course, they have an intelligence units within our own army that are watching our own military, don't they?
That's absolutely true. There's no way that you're going to get anyone. Well, let me put it this way. He claims that there's a coup being planned. Well, if he were privy to the fact that there was going to be a coup being planned, that would be the end of the coup. You know, how unwise would that be to tell national audience on the Alex Jones show that military people are planning a coup? You don't think the globalists are going to move with very swift movement? I mean, that proves that Colonel de Grand Prix isn't part of legitimate intelligence about a coup. Otherwise, if he were part of it, he'd be sworn to secrecy and he wouldn't be talking about it on Alex Jones. Now, once again, I am not casting dispersions on the colonel in terms of his integrity. I really think he's just a sincere, older, retired officer who's exercising some wishful thinking.
All right, but I think that, of course, what it is, this creates all sorts of divisions among our people. I mean, our major goal has to be to educate the American people, not to rely upon the military to pull off some sort of a coup d'etat. And if they did, we might end up with even a worse situation than we have today.
Well, I think it's very important that we realize that this is a very big, powerful conspiracy that we're dealing with. We're not going to vote these people out of office. The judges are not going to sustain us. They obviously only uphold the Constitution when it's convenient for them. It's only through getting knowledge in the hands of the people that this is a real conspiracy, and that those who proclaim to be Christians and conservative in government are often fronting insincere people fronting for the globalist agenda. It's a very difficult uphill battle. Unfortunately, some of our Christian people listening audience are some of the most resistant to the concept that George Bush might not believe or be true to what he's saying. It's a particularly difficult thing to counter this grandest of all deceptions, that someone claiming to be one of our own really is betraying us. People are so anxious to believe that a man on the white horse has taken over the White House, is going to save us, and we can go back to making a living, we can go back to relaxing and watching television, and we don't have to defend our liberty, as is our God-given charge.
And of course, whatever George Bush believes, certainly I don't believe he's in charge at all. I believe he is controlled by people like Cheney and others who surround him. If you've read Paul O'Neill's book, it's very obvious that that Dick Cheney really runs most of what goes on at the White House.
Well, and I will say that he's rather the messenger boy of the higher-ups. I mean, Dick Cheney is obviously higher in the much higher George Bush. He is his handler, in my opinion.
All right. And your feeling, of course, he is fronting for the members of this group I refer to. There's a Brotherhood of Darkness. I don't know if you have a... I think you refer to them as the dark side of government.
Right.
I talk about the... But it's all basically the same. It's people who have a different agenda, who have a different worldview, and, of course, who worship a different God.
Now, as my last subject, I don't know if we've got time for this, but I'd like to...
Well, just you've got about 1 minute, so go
ahead.
All
right. Well, I just want to mention that there's a system that uses to politically control senators who claim to be conservative. When I looked at the totals for Senator Hatch of Utah, very powerful Senate head of the Judiciary Committee, received $230,000 this last year without even running for office, and virtually every one of the contributors, not one company from Utah, international and national companies, ranging from Halliburton to the casinos in Las Vegas to the major Hollywood industries who are liberal, left-wing, pro-homosexual, what are they doing supporting Orrin Hatch? It's not because they're buying him off individually. What's happening is these are people who are insider-connected corporations, and they've gotten the word Hatch is supporting our agenda, perhaps unknowingly, perhaps not, but feed money to his campaign without him asking. And that's what happens. That's how the world of politics works in the United States.
All right. Well, I think you're absolutely right. Our guest today has been Joel Skousen. Of course, he's the editor of World Affairs Brief. And get that telephone number out just one more time, Joel.
Area code 801-224-4746. Or go to my website, joelskousen.com.
And I recommend Joel's material to you. God bless you, Joel. We'll talk to you later, probably next week.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Okay, this is Dr. Stan. Hope you enjoyed the commentary. And I think that you have to understand, we have some of the finest politicians in Washington, D.C. that money can buy. Maybe they don't even know they're being bought. But, of course, when you get large sums of money from very powerful people, you certainly would never want to bite the hand that's financing your campaign, would you?
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I do hope many of our listeners will seriously consider getting some of the material that we have on the invisible government. Certainly, we carry Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. This is an amazing book. It was no sooner written back in 1966, when somebody came in and bought the publisher, Macmillan Company, and destroyed the plates of the first half of the book so it couldn't be republished. Why? Because it talked about the secret society that controls England and that controls the United States. And, of course, if you doubt that story, we have an interview with Professor Quigley where he tells how his book was actively suppressed, how somebody bought up Macmillan Company and destroyed the place to the first half of the book. And for many years, the book really was unavailable. It is available now, and it is called Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And where you can either get the book by itself from Radio Liberty or along with a copy of Foundations, Their Power and Influence, and a copy of that interview with Professor Quigley. It's really historical. It's so vitally important that people understand that we are fed exactly what they want us to hear. If there's a book that comes out, well, I did an interview with Linda Hunt this morning. She wrote a book on Operation Paperclip, where we brought all the Nazi, or many of the Nazi war criminals to the United States, or helped them escape to South America after the Second World War. A printing of the book, I mean, the book is tremendously in demand. One printing, no paperback edition. And those copies, most of them have disappeared. You can buy them on the net for $150, $125 today. Other books are simply called back. They're never distributed. Other books, like Monica Jensen Stevenson's book, Kiss the Boys Goodbye, 5,000 copies shredded. Call 1-800-544-8927 and ask for Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will decide you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we, 5 hours a day, reach out across America, 5 hours on the Internet, 4 hours on shortwave, and then, of course, on about 60 different radio stations every week. Now, we have to buy the time on most of these stations. That's why we need your help, so that we can get the truth out, the truth that people are not going to get from regular sources. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, we'd love to welcome you into the family. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, our January newsletter, pardon me, tells you about the Illuminati. Our December newsletter tells you about why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools. Our February newsletter tells what really happened on September 11, 2001, what Dick Cheney was doing that morning in the control center down beneath the White House. It's a fascinating newsletter that will give you insight into things you've never thought of before. So give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll be glad to send you a free newsletter. Of course, I have to admit, we really want you to subscribe to that newsletter, but we'll be glad to send you a free copy. Now, if you have the internet, you can pull the newsletters down there, post it up there, and you can pull them down for nothing. We urge you to copy our newsletters and circulate them, and encourage then people to listen to our radio programs, and of course, encourage them to support our effort as we reach out across America, trying to bring the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Let me mention several of the videos we have, certainly Diaprax. In the Church is the story of the church growth movement, the seeker-friendly church, the movement that is sweeping across America, bringing a great apostasy, and most people, good people, have no idea what's happening. They've changed very subtly the message of the church, very subtly the music of the church, very subtly the beat of the music of the church. So if you, of course, would like to get more information, get the video, Diaprax in the Church. It's available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We have a four-tape set, The Church Growth Movement. We have the video, Megiddo, The March to Armageddon, the story of the Third World War we're in now, the story of the secret societies that created the wars of the last century. That's Megiddo. My video, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or the book, or the combination book and video for $29.95. In fact, you can get an audio tape with that. But it will give you an understanding that there really are secret societies. There have always been secret societies. They've existed since the beginning of time. And they all have had the same goal, the New World Order, the New World Religion. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get the video, The Best Enemies Money Can Buy, my interview with Professor Sutton, or the book that goes with that. The video, Iraq, The Untold Story, explains that how all of the wars of the last century were contrived, and the documentation for those statements. There was no Gulf of Tonkin incident. It was contrived to justify getting us into the war, just like the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. It was all contrived, and the American people are so gullible because they don't want to believe that our leaders would intentionally lie to us. But the war in Iraq was planned long before the September 11th attack. And we, in my syllabus that comes with the Iraq, The Untold Story, you'll find out from their documentation, from their internet site. And when I say they, I mean the Project for the New American Century. You'll read where they're talking about how we have to have a war in Iraq. They were writing that in 1998. But it was planned even long before that. Everything has been contrived to bring us into this Third World War. So remember, all of these items are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we're on the front lines of this battle every day. So until tomorrow, when we'll be back with you once again, Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.